podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I get the feeling that you're admired, but
I'm above average.
Right, guys, welcome back. This is the Above Average FPL Podcast. My name's Adam, and as always, joined by Baker. How are you doing this evening, mate?
Yeah, it's final straight, mate. It is tinker time.
It is tinker time. That's it. We've had all of the preseason friendlies done, basically. Community Shield done. So, yeah, we've got a week of thinking about it, week of chatting. But we're pretty close. I think we're pretty close between us both as well on where we're going to land. Just a few little places where we may need to just have discussions, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. There is no more friendlies, is there? This is it now, we're done.
I believe that's it. I believe the players are now go back to training and then prep for the games at the weekend. Press conferences, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, quality of training during the week and then press conferences at the weekend. And yeah, and hopefully we'll get some good news on the teams that we're looking for. So
press conference.
we're back to that. So yeah, so good evening to everyone in the chat on YouTube. You know, we've got some competition this evening on YouTube with Andy and with the family guys as well. So thank you for coming to join us. That's great. And you know, in terms of where to find our podcast, it's on Google, Spotify, Apple, wherever you want to get your podcast from. Obviously, as I say, we're on YouTube, which is great. We are approaching 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you to everyone that is subscribed. You can see there is a ticker on the right-hand side of me that's just ticking over live. And I'm hoping that in the next few minutes, before we get into the depths of it, that we tick over that 2,000 mark. So if you are not subscribed already and you do enjoy listening to our content, then please do subscribe. Now, that'd be really, really appreciated. Flying through the admin, as always. So our podcast and channel is supported by our good friend Dan. So Dan is at CryptoBlockDan on Twitter. He is a games analyst for a company called YGG, and he's in the play to earn crypto space. So if you want to know anything about you know, how to earn a little bits of money from or little bits of crypto from playing games, you know, go speak to him and find out what it's all about. And we're also working with the guys over at FPL Tips. If you don't know FPL Tips, FPL Tips is a weekly newsletter. It comes to you by email. And basically the idea is it sums up all of the useful information that you want to absorb to help make your FPL decisions easier. And you get that in a, you know, in a short 5-minute email. The link to join that is in the description below. If you do that, then that would really help us as well. So that would be much appreciated. They've gone past 5,000 subs. It's absolutely flying. It's a great little newsletter. Get involved.
Talking of going past subs, mate.
Boom. There it is.
There it is.
2,000 subs.
Oh, that, you sound a little bit quiet to me. I'm not sure if it's something else said it, but yeah, a little bit quiet. Not bad, but just a bit.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll move the microphone a little bit closer, and that might help things. I just hope that it doesn't unplug. Is that better?
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. 2K. Well, thanks very much to everyone there.
Amazing.
Appreciate it. That's brilliant. Brilliant. And, you know, if you want to join us in our mini league, we're almost at 1,000 people in our mini league as well. So, you know, let's get that up over 1,000 before the game week starts on Friday. So Jamie won it last year. He won the whole thing. He's going to be in our league again this year. And the code is UAT148. That's UAT148. And the auto link is the auto link thing is in the description as well. So
marvelous.
There we are. So where do we want to start?
Community Shield.
How do you want to do this? Do you want to have a look at like the, go on to my phone, basically?
Has someone unsubscribed? Someone's unsubscribed.
Oh, you bastard.
Hilarious. Yeah, let's use your phone.
Yep. So I've got my phone here. So if I'm not looking at the screen, it's because I'm...
Does that mean if anyone sends you a message, it will turn up on...
Now I've gone do not disturb. So absolutely not. Absolutely not. The phone is now charging as well. So
we're just going to use your... Because you've got limited stats and stuff, haven't you, through pre-season. But there was a couple that showed up on SofaScore. And I watched the game yesterday, and we all watched it.
I didn't watch the first half. Well, I watched bits of the first half, but yeah, we watched it together yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't feel like a friendly. That was immediate. Like, from the go, this is not a friendly.
No. Agreed.
This isn't it.
Good as well.
I thought it was just a real even first half. I did think City tired a bit in that second half. I did think they did start to tire a little bit, which, you know, there is a slight worry of them being a little bit undercooked, but
yeah,
I think that's just the game, you know. But when you actually, if you go to SofaScore and look at some of the stats on some of the players, I think you have to just make sure you remind yourself of how good these two teams are. Because if you, for example, clicked on like number of passes for Trent,
I can do that.
So
yeah, 23 accurate passes, 64.
23 accurate passes.
Not many.
He averaged 53 accurate passes last season. There you go. Like, that's hard work, mate. Like, 63% accuracy.
Yeah. But then, you know, again, we saw him, you know, taking up that inside position where, you know, he's not making those small little passes with Salah. And you know, clocking up those numbers. He's not in a comfortable game where he's, you know, he's recycling the ball with Van Dijk, etc. You know, he's looking to make things happen, and with that comes risk, and with that comes, you know, incomplete passes. The more risks you take, the more it happens. You look at players like Bruno, for example. I mean, like, Bruno's a perfect example of that. Yeah, so it does happen to those players that take more risks, certainly.
So Trent is, we've talked about it last week with Alon, and that he's playing more of that, like, almost inside forward at times. You can see that crosses are less.
Yeah.
You know, only two attempted crosses all game. If you go up to the top and look at his heat map, you'll see the number of times he's coming off of that wing.
Quite a lot.
Feels a bit more like, you know, when Doherty was doing that for us, it feels like that kind of position where he's coming off it. He's not the get wide player that he was, which then did make me think about Salah and watching him, and it does push him a little wider. If you click on Salah and looked at his, it's quite wide.
Yeah,
it's quite wide. And actually what it does mean is that he only had two shots effectively. One's a pen and the other one was a good chance. Good chance into side net in the first half. But what he is doing more is, say that, 30 passes, accuracy 93.8. What he is doing is he's making four crosses. Wasn't necessarily doing that one. He created a big chance.
So what's happening, as we love to talk about it, his baseline is increasing.
His baseline is increasing.
Which means when he scores, his propensity to get to top bonus is much higher.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, there is something there that if he...
I think we were talking about that yesterday, even when Nunez scored. And Nunez got a goal and an assist and was probably still behind him.
Mm. There's some really good things here.
Part of that's minutes, right? Part of that's minutes, parts of the winning goal. You know, there's little pieces there, parts that Nunez got booked as well, etc. If you were to convert that. But
oh, yeah, it's enough, mate. But he was comfortably there. So he's getting your free bonus. He's getting goal and assist.
Yeah.
He's kicking you off at 13 points. I see nothing there, as much as he was a little bit wider, that says to me, don't go Salah captain first game.
Yeah.
I see nothing actually that actually makes him that worse an asset.
Yeah.
Trent might continue in that vein that we had last season of not being the bonus monster, because even though he scored, you look at those metrics, nothing
there. He wasn't anywhere near it.
Wouldn't have got anywhere near it.
No, especially if they concede.
Gets nothing on the pass, only one key pass, all of those things, no chance.
Only gets 12 for the goal as well. So he's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure with a clean sheet he would have got it.
No, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Might not have been in it.
So, it'd be close.
Yeah.
So, and then Robbo.
Yeah.
We'll go through the assets.
He's on screen.
He's active. And that's a lot of touches in the penalty box.
Yeah.
That is a lot of touches in the penalty box. But same thing, you know, is they all struggle to pass. Yeah. Is, but that's, I think, the opposition more than anything else. So I think you can just take a lot of it off. It kind of just shows you that opposition piece, that anyone that does well in a game like that, they're going to do well in a normal game.
Yeah. And the relationship between Robbo and Diaz is very different to the one between Trent and Salah. Right. You can see that. You can very see different. That quite clearly in how they took up their position. So Diaz took up a lot of positions wide outside of Robbo, but also you see Robbo obviously taking the traditional outside role as well. So they do tend to swap over, but there are elements of the game where you find that Robbo and Robbo's in the position here. You can see with Diaz is in red, and you've got Trent basically on the other side. They're basically just sitting there just outside the box as these kind of support strikers almost, which is,
yeah,
you know, they're basically attacking with five players. And yeah, we saw that a lot last season, and we can see already that methodology, that whatever it is not going to change.
No, it's still the same. You do still attack with five players. All the best teams attack with five players. These attack with five players. Yeah. That's what we're seeing. But Diaz first, it was such a different game for Diaz, wasn't it? Because first half, I was like, he's playing up front. And that's what happens. Bobby plays and Bobby drops into the 10.
Yeah.
And immediately Diaz and Mo are better assets. Yeah. And in fact, I think when Bobby plays, Robertson and Trent are better assets, because it's almost like he's the deeper of the four. It's like they start wide, the fullbacks tuck in a bit more, and Bobby drops down. Diaz looked particularly dangerous, I thought, first half. Then Bobby came off, and yeah, Darwin comes on. So sticking on Liverpool for a start. I mean, he's a weapon.
Yeah. He accumulated, what, 0.6 XG, three big chances, two out of his four shots on target. He was just, and he was, you know, his touches were basically where those spots are in the penalty box.
Just no fear. Absolute no fear. Just went at City. I remember always used to thinking about Jota being a weapon, you know, in the way that he plays, and he's just that just outright attacking player. But this guy is much bigger. He's just, one, he's massive.
Yeah.
And he does the central runs. And they haven't had a man really doing central runs for a long time.
No, and they haven't. They haven't needed to.
They haven't needed to.
They haven't needed to. You know, Firmino drops in, and then you've basically got the four outside that just pummel down and just overload everything.
I mean, if he starts with Thiago, because I think Thiago is the key, actually, in a way for him, is because the man who can play the through ball is Thiago. Mm. The sad part about if he comes off the bench all the time is normally Thiago will be going off. But it feels to me like it makes more sense that you start with Darwin and you have Thiago putting him through. And then when you take Thiago off because his legs have inevitably go with 20 minutes to go, that's when you can also let Darwin come off and you bring on Firmino, who then replaces some of that playmaker piece.
Yeah,
that you lose from Thiago. Like, I just like to hope that that's the way it goes. But I, to quote Alon from last week, I am Darwin curious, mate.
So, I mean, starts are going to be, a key for seeing whether Darwin's an option for me. I don't think, I personally don't think that he's an option yet. At 9 million. I don't think so. If you're going to take a chance on him.
He would have probably got 11 points in 31 minutes against City.
There is that. Seven.
And he's playing Fulham. Like, with five subs. I want to try and think of Darwin very similar to how I think about Jota. I didn't care whether he started or not. Because I either get 60 minutes against fresh legs, or I get 30 minutes against old legs.
Yeah.
And his 30 minutes against old legs of City was insane. Like, 30 minutes against old legs of Fulham. Wow. Like, first game of the season.
It was just a case of find him at that point. I mean, like, City's a game where you know, they were, you'd be required to expend more energy in a game against City than anyone else. So not to say that Liverpool's legs were old legs or tired legs, but whatever. But they just basically took upon themselves, well, right, well, he's on now, so we can just put it into him.
He's just six foot two.
Just feed him.
Quick as you like.
Yeah.
Absolutely lethal. He got 26 goals last season from 15 XG. Doesn't actually matter about the league that you're playing in at that point. If you get 26 goals from 15 XG, you're an elite finisher.
Yeah.
Like, it's just straight on it. FB ref, top 97 percentile, whatever it is, of finishing. This bloke can finish. And he's hungry.
So where are you...
something about him that feels like he could easily score hat-tricks.
So are you rating? So are you rating him as the third best asset for Liverpool at the moment?
Do
you think he might be a better?
I don't think he's the third best asset. So I think that's one of those ones. So do I think that Robertson or Diaz might outscore him? Maybe. But do I think that he can? There are other players that can cover him. Those players. Get within 5 points of him. Yes.
Mm.
And so therefore I feel like even if he matches them or gets within like 5 points of them, I can make that up with other people.
Yeah.
And I know everyone will say that he's more expensive, but he's not more expensive. I outright refuse to accept that he's more expensive in the way that if you say to me, oh, Robertson's £2 million cheaper. Robertson's a £7 million defender. He is a £9 million striker.
Yep.
Now, if I say to you, find me a pair, a £7 million defender and a £7 million striker, and will they match up? Okay. I don't think so. But if you give me a £5 million defender and a £9 million forward, I think we can do it. You're sort of looking at your Martial and Robertson, isn't it? Or Nunes and... any of the 5 million midfield defenders, there's loads of them.
Yeah.
It can kind of work out a bit closer than I think it would be. So I never quite buy the old comparing it when it's position versus position. If there's a good striker that can bang, those are the ones that really hurt you. The ones that got hurt last season were the ones that did not have Antonio. The ones that got hurt the season before were the ones that didn't have Kane. Like when those strikers go, you got to have them. And he could be someone that goes. And I'm like, if he doesn't, 9 million's a load you can come down from. You can kind of go anywhere with it.
Yeah, you can. You can, because you can either drop to a striker that's doing something, or you can just take 4.5 million in the bank and put it elsewhere, which is basically any defender you want.
Yeah.
And or pretty much any midfielder that you want, basically.
Exactly. We're not going to get them all right.
You can get to Sterling, for example, quite easily, or a Bruno if they pop off at the start of the season. Like,
and there's some of the
5.5 anyway. Yeah.
Some of the, should we say, smaller teams, but Brentford, Leeds, Brighton, all those ones start to get a bit better, their fixtures from about game week 3.
Mm.
So I'm like, I think there'll be someone value that comes out of that. And if it doesn't work, I might not be able to stay with him. You know, I can go somewhere else, but we've got the OR1 still OR1. We're not counting ourselves all as OR1. No. So Jamie's asking us
minutes and starts. I mean, I think you've said it already. I mean, yeah, I guess it's not a big issue if he doesn't start, because his impact in 30 is just as good as his impact potentially in 60. It's not like, again, going back to what Alon says, though, we know nothing really. We know very little at the moment.
We have to
wait. But yeah, that's, you can punt on him. I think it's a punt if you go there.
Oh, it's a punt. Yeah. There's no even.
But I think if you're going anywhere near a second, third striker that is not Jesus or Harlan Kane, I feel like it's a punt anyway. So, okay, right. Should we talk about City at all?
Yeah. So let's just because we'll clear those up. Are we both off of Luis Diaz right now?
I've never been on him. So, yeah. Yes.
Okay, we'll go that different one. Yeah, yeah, I think the order, I think the general order for most people is going to be Robertson first, and then go from there. I one thing I would say is I don't think you need to play the convenience card and just stay with Diaz because he's 8 million. Get the best one, because these are the best two teams. Getting the right players is really important.
Yep. Big man?
City, the big man. I mean, what was it? Like 1.6 XG or something?
Which is a lot.
Against Liverpool.
Yeah. Two big chances, both missed. Like one huge chance as well.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the other big chance was the one where he stuck his legs out, which he probably should have just headed.
Exactly.
Assuming that was the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
So
100%. I don't know why people would have come off of him.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, this is, I've been being quite pedantic about this for ages and saying you start when the game opens with Kane because you know what you're getting from Kane. And then you wait for the moment that you think, I can't resist Haaland any longer.
Yeah.
And that was either going to be the Community Shield or it could be game week one, but it's going to happen at some point. Like, it's never not going to happen. At some point, we're all going to need him. It's just when.
Yeah.
I feel like he did enough to make, for the first time since the game's opened, to think, do I really want to bank in that transfer?
I mean, I'm still happy to. I'm still happy to, because I just don't, you know, the way my team's set up at the moment is I don't have a City player in for game week two, apart from Cancelo. Right. So, you know, am I really going to sit here and not have a City player that against Bournemouth? It just doesn't make sense. And if I have to book a transfer in to get Haaland in, then fine. Right. I'd rather book a transfer and have Haaland against City than not.
I guess it's just, we had a chat with Praz last night, and Praz was basically saying, like, every season he loves to roll the transfer in game week two, which is always like the utopia of world that you play in, and then maybe take a minus four in game week three and he's change free position, so therefore he hasn't got to think that much about price points. He just thinks about who the players I really want for those first two game weeks and then go from there. And I'm like, yeah, it does make a lot of sense. and then you're like, well, as soon as I then bank that transfer or put that transfer into play, I'm chasing everybody else for game week two and then I'm behind them for game week three.
Yeah,
we're behind, you know, is we're immediately behind those that have already got him, and therefore you're effectively needing a sort of hit to get that position. And then you're like, have I seen enough that I think Kane will outscore Haaland by more than one goal in that first game? I don't know. And do I think that he could score against anyone? Yeah. I mean, the first half hour, you're kind of just watching it thinking, are they trying to find him or not? Are they trying to find him or not? And KDB was right up there. It felt like everyone knew the runs that KDB is going to do. So everyone would just play KDB in, whereas they were like, I'm not fully sure of it.
Yeah.
But the more you look at this, look, it just stays down the middle.
Yeah. There's an element of trust that just has to happen there. I mean, I think, and they were talking about it at halftime yesterday, saying that he was making decent runs in that first half. And, KDB missed a couple of passes and a couple they just didn't look for him. That will come. That will become intuition. That will become...
They'll want it to come as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he'll just... Yeah. Because it just advances the whole game up the pitch as well. And then you're talking about a guy who's pretty much as good as they get from a finisher point of view as well. Not only just like the number of goals he scores, but you know, he's a great finisher as well.
I wouldn't be overly surprised if Alvarez and Foden both came in on the wings next week. I wouldn't be overly surprised. I can see Foden coming in, certainly, for one of them. It might be Grealish and Foden. It might be Foden and Mahrez.
Because I was watching bits of the first... I'm watching little bits of the first half, and every time Mahrez got the ball, it just looked bad. Everything he did was bad. Everything Grealish did was average. He just tended to recycle it quite a lot. But everything Mahrez did was just bad. He looked lazy. He looked... just like he couldn't give a shit, to be fair.
Yeah.
It really was bad.
A better team for me, because then Alvarez drops into that second striker, which then makes KDB worse an asset because he drops deeper, and then Bernardo drops further right, and then they just had better shape. Yeah. And then he has a foil, you know, that plays around him. I mean, we just don't know, but Alvarez could just break the game. He could easily just break the game completely. $6.5 million is just madness. But Foden was, he was sharp when he came on. For a guy that's not played at all, you could just see it immediately. He was fun. I mean, he worked so hard for that goal.
Yeah.
You know, to take the shot and then still get the ball back again. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He was good. He was good. And they I saw a number of times that Pep was sort of moaning about the fact that they weren't playing the crossfield balls when they were open. And it did make me think, well, your reason you're not playing them in your first half is because De Bruyne's up top. If De Bruyne's deeper, he's playing those crossfield balls all day long.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can see him pushing him back a little bit. Yeah. It's a tough, tough, tough gig, I think. I'm not sure about the centre-backs for City. I feel like Diaz has been off it for ages.
I also feel like it's difficult to judge when you're facing Liverpool.
A fresher Liverpool.
You look at the fixtures that they've got coming up, and then you go, well, does it make sense that you basically write off a defence that has the lowest XG C consistently? And if you looked at the way they started last season, then they were just, you know, elite. Just ridiculous how quickly they started from a defensive point of view. And that's part of the reason. And not to say that I'm off Diaz or anything like that. I just feel like if you can get in there cheaper. Because I don't feel like their defenders are going to give you any more attacking output than Cancelo will. Right? I don't think it's going to be basically Cancelo or bust from a defender getting an attacking return point of view. And everything else is going to come from KDB plus wide player plus Haaland is just going to haul. So
Ake at 5.0, though, if you flick on to Ake on the lineups and just check where Ake touched the ball,
yeah,
there's a lot of penalty box touches being aimed at Ake at 5.0.
Yeah.
Laporte's out to September.
Yeah.
So he's cheaper than Edison.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
the problem is there's so many defenders that we want.
Yeah.
There's so many defenders that we want.
You can get 5 million. You can get another decent 5 million defender without taking up a City spot.
Exactly. And I'm not necessarily tripping out on it on City if I don't have Edison.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, so if I talked earlier, Darwin and Ake.
Yeah.
It's not the third Liverpool and City asset I thought I was going to, but.
Yeah, no.
I don't mind Ake at all. I don't mind him as a pick.
Before it disappears, we had a super chat from Chintan. He's come back again. He's done this a couple of times for us. Very, very grateful.
Ramsdale, Trent,
Robbo, Cancelo, Trippier, Salah, Saka, Neto, Bailey, Jesus, Kane. Mate, this feels good. I know it's a while to game week one. Should I feel this is good? I mean, it's good.
And I guess that is the thing about the Darwin punt, isn't it? Look at that. Like, the biggest punty option there is Bailey. And it's only that you're punting that his hamstring won't go.
Yeah.
But like a 5 million punt is nothing. They're all really good picks in that one. And that does pose the question of why you're punting on a 9 million forward when there's brilliant assets all over the pitch.
Yeah.
And that's the quandary.
Fun. Indeed, Chintan, thank you very much.
You should feel good about that, mate. It's a good team.
And we feel good that you've shared that with us. Perfect. Thank you. Right. Where are we moving to?
We better tackle Tottenham, don't we?
Well, we can tackle Tottenham, but we don't have any data on Tottenham at all because there's no data in here on Tottenham.
We haven't, but we'll come back to... or should we do Arsenal first, then?
Okay, yeah, let's just cycle back to Arsenal. There we go. Matches, Sevilla. Ooh,
people want to know, mate, if we're going to pick Tottenham players, but we will make them wait. Arsenal.
So, yeah, Arsenal. Points for everyone. First thing is, I know a few people have spoken about penalties. The word on penalties for Arsenal at the moment is whoever takes it, whoever gets fouled, basically whoever wins it takes it, is what's happened like the last three or four penalties. So to say Saka's on pens is probably, I think it might be correct anyway, but you know, we haven't seen that yet so far. So we're still waiting and seeing on it. I think if Martinelli wins a penalty and then takes it, I think, you know, we're going to be in that situation where it is wins it, takes it. So,
I just think it, in a way, though, penalties is quite an overrated thing.
Well, yeah, but it's...
I mean, most teams actually only get like 5 or 6 penalties.
Yeah.
Like, still it doesn't...
nice to have, though. Still nice to
it's
have.
Nice, it's bonus. Nice, but you could be thinking, oh, I'll do that one because they're on penalties, and then they get through the first 5 games, and right, and it depends. Like, or we could have what we had. I feel like it got even more inflamed by a couple of years ago when it was just like penalty madness.
Well, yeah, we even picked the team in... I think I picked the team in game week 4, which was just penalty players only.
Yeah, penalty players.
Just because that was the way we had to go.
The sofa score... lineup looks quite interesting the way that they've put it. They've put it as a 3-4-1-2.
Yeah.
Not put it that White was at right back. Yeah. But I can kind of understand it because one of the things in our bonus pod we talked about was Zinchenko, wasn't it? And could he be the bonus point magnet? They are playing. Arteta is just trying to play like Pep.
Yeah,
that's what he's trying to do. He's just trying to be City of a couple of years ago and do the things that they do. So whether it's White that's playing that right role, whether it ends up being Tomiyasu, it'll do the same stuff. And that's that the outside defenders, I'm not going to call them fullbacks or wingbacks, I'll call them outside defenders, will basically come in and be midfielders. Their aim is to tuck in and hold where they'll touch the ball will be very narrow on the inside. Good platform. You then have Partey at the base, and then Xhaka and Odegaard are doing the channels. Now, that does mean Zinchenko could play that left channel. Mm-hmm. That, I think that's why they want that versatility, because if Xhaka was out, he would be the perfect man to play it, because it's almost decoy runs down that inside channel, outside eights, and it means that then the front three can just have fun.
Yeah.
They can go where they like. But if there's one place they haven't got any width at all, it's that right side. So what that does mean is that, so from Shaka's perspective, he's actually the man that's further forward on the left-hand side, not Zinchenko. And I'm like, well, I don't want Xhaka, and therefore I probably don't want Xhaka either. Look at the amount of touch is in the penalty area. He's playing through that narrow inside eight. You can see it on that left-hand side. Then if you go to Saka, because he doesn't get the support that Xhaka does with Zinchenko, Saka is having to be quite wide.
Yeah.
The good part about him being wide is that there was often a massive overload of players to the left. And then they switch it almost like rugby style, where you see him, they're playing all down the left, and then they can just bang it out and he's completely open. And those ones where he comes in the box, and basically how he ends up with the penalty, is that he's able to get free, Odegaard plays the ball over, and he's in. So I don't worry about that being on the right. We didn't worry about Mo Salah earlier, and it's basically the same heat map. And they both got penalties,
yep.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And he got 2 goals. Now, you can say, oh, one of the goals was a penalty and the other one was a rebound. But the rebound came out of brilliant pressing. That's what Arteta wants. He's got really good presser up top. Martinelli's a good presser. They were really clever how they did it. Can't argue with them. But I do look at that on Martinelli and think, well, that's the fun.
Just everywhere as well. I mean, he's everywhere, and he's everywhere in the box.
And he's got corners from one side.
Yep.
£6 million in a team that's really high functioning at the moment, taking corners, basically playing in a free role because Xhaka, who people consider a defensive midfielder, is on the left side of the midfield. Zinchenko is behind him. He literally doesn't have to do anything defensively.
Yeah.
Can come off his wing whenever he wants, do whatever he wants. You can't look Martinelli. You just can't go away from him.
And 90 minutes yesterday suggests...
Exactly.
With a week rest now, I mean, 90 minutes suggests he's the number one guy.
Just lock him in.
Yeah.
And then Jesus.
He's everywhere. Six shots. I mean, it's a lot of shots.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful heat map. It's
just easy.
Just
get him.
Don't muck about it. Yeah. Jesus and Martinelli. There will be some that just do the triple up and go all the attack. But because actually, Saka will do very well for you, but I just find him, I can't see it. Just can't see a way in which you do it. Because
I just don't think you're not going to get that many returns. You're not going to get enough goals against a team that is actually going to play proper football. Because some of the stuff that Sevilla were doing yesterday was just pathetic. I mean,
It was. But it was. They need to show you as a team that they are consistent above 2xG to start thinking about anything mad like that.
Yes.
Is but the other two, they're too low priced to not take a punt on them.
You've basically got them for the price of Salah, essentially. It's a fine 14, 13 minute.
Kick it off, done.
Yeah, exactly.
Ramos?
Cool. Well, not really. Heat map's good. You can't take anything.
Look at some of the places he touched the ball.
Well, yeah, pretty high up.
He was literally just like, sweeping. You go out there, I'll just come out and just play miles out of goal.
Yeah.
Visibly wanting to get involved in it.
I'm not taking anything from this game from Ramsdale at all.
No.
I just think as long as if Arsenal's backline are fit, then their fixtures are too good or are good enough that you could justify Ramsdale easily over any 4-5, probably over Mendy. Yeah,
definitely not even a doubt, because I think that the worst two games are the first two games, which is Palace and Leicester.
Yeah,
Palace and Leicester are just, they are teams that will, if he gets one clean sheet in those two games, he'll get 10 points.
Yes,
he'll get 10 points because those are both teams that historically take loads of low value shots.
Yeah,
and you know, Vardy is different to the rest of them, but your Dewsbury Hall, Madison, Tielemans, you know, Barnes take loads of low value shots.
Yeah.
You'll get saves from them. And if he gets one clean in either of those games, it'll be a minimum of 8. But I'll still expect, I would fully expect him to come through those two games with 10 points.
Yeah.
Fully expect him to come through those ones. And then he goes on to two promoted teams. I'm struggling to go away from Ramsdale. And I can't see that, you know, you're sort of blocking yourself with that Saka move, but I'm like, I can't see myself moving over those, moving to one of those other two. And I don't like the defenders.
Yeah.
Triple Arsenal, start the game.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
Good.
Absolutely disgusting.
So Arsenal and Liverpool, but look, that is 40 minutes, whatever we're talking, but they're pretty much half of everyone's team.
Yeah, true. True.
Many of us not going in without five.
No, true. Right, let's just answer this question from Simar, who's kindly another super chat. Thank you very much. He's just saying, why are we not looking at Foden as an 8.0 pick? I think to some extent we are, but because of his limited preseason, because of the vaccination rules, etc., it's difficult to know whether he's going to get minutes, or we think he will, because we think he's top of Pep's or at the top of Pep's list, but
yeah,
we just haven't seen it. And I think for me, this has been a strange preseason in that I've watched and been aware of more teams' preseason fixtures and results than I've ever been before, like ever. And it's because he hasn't been there that we just haven't really seen him. He looked sharp when he came on. Looked really sharp when he came on.
He did.
Had the shot which rebounded for Alvarez as well. So I think he's definitely in the conversation. I think the broader conversation is around the 8 million price.
Nice transition. That's what I was about to say. I think that is the case. Because if you don't have an £8 million midfielder, then you can't, let's just say Foden does start first game and is great, and you've gone Robbo or you've gone Mad and gone Darwin and you're struggling with an £8 million midfielder.
Yeah.
That's still the worry. You know, Bournemouth are making signs that they're not ready.
Yes.
Parker's moaning about lack of signings.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help my fear at all.
It feels early. It feels early for mind games. I mean, you can't expect mind games from a Bournemouth manager, could you? And no. He was particularly poor last time.
But I don't think you can go in with Saka because I just think you want the other two. I'm not over keen on Diaz anymore. I feel like that's died a little.
Yeah.
City mids, I don't think I'm keen to start with them. Because we've not seen the minutes to go it with it. Mount's fixtures. Tough. Yeah. They're just tough. At Chelsea, you don't really know that. I watched some of the highlights of the Chelsea game and I thought Mount and Sterling look like they've got a real partnership there. And they do look like the two out of the three that you're interested in rather than Havertz still. But I just not sure on the fixtures. Madison, it's the transfer rumours, but looked on it tonight. Most importantly for us, has a haircut.
Of course, expected haircut.
Can't rule out expected haircuts.
Nope.
Did you, when you watched Community Shield, did you literally look around everyone and go, oh, haircuts. Liverpool were trying to get us with loads of highlights.
Yeah,
loads of them had the blonde highlights. So frustrating. I was like, is it a haircut? Is it not a haircut? Am I on this?
I think you give everyone generally a clean slate at the start of the season, but when you say that is the haircut.
That is the haircut. But I do think is everyone's just been so fixated with these 8 million spots because you kind of didn't have any reason not to. Then when I moved Diaz out, I was like, I'm not sure I want to move another one of them in.
Yeah.
Really not sure I wanted to move another one of them in. Mount or Madison would be the bigger ones if I thought there were, if I heard some really good noises for it, but I'm not 100% convinced. And then it moves us on to our boy.
Yeah. Chelsea as well. I mean, because they've got a lot of good players, So all these like A team, B team friendlies behind closed doors. So I don't know who's going to be rocking up alongside Mount. I mean, you expect it going to be Havertz and then what? Like, what, Ziyech? No, maybe. Werner, maybe.
I think it's the edge itself.
Yeah, I don't know. So, you want to go throwback? How about this for a question? Is Suchek a better option than Bailey?
No.
Cool. Sorry, Karthik. It's quite short and sweet, that one. No. No, Bailey's just, he's looked very, very good pre-season.
Should we cover Bailey? We'll still keep pushing Tottenham back, but Bailey in your team at the moment?
Yes.
Bailey v Neto is a fun one this week. Yeah. I do think at the moment Bailey looks the fun. And if Bournemouth still look like where they're at on the weekend, I'm happy to go Neto to Bournemouth to Bailey. Even if it means I don't spend that £500,000, I'm sure I will spend that £500,000. But
I don't want to say he's the risk. I mean the words from Gerrard before the after the previous game. Can't remember who they played, but after the previous game, basically said, if I picked tomorrow, Bailey would be in there. Comes on and scores again. I think it's going to be very difficult for Gerrard not to start him. And so I feel like whilst I wouldn't say he's nailed, I'd say he's very likely to start the first game at least. Now, if he doesn't start games after, then okay, we can. I feel like I can cross that bridge when I get to it. Now, Wolves.
You hate Wolves.
I don't hate Wolves. I was born in Wolverhampton. I don't hate Wolves. I've said before, their attack is measurably worse without Jimenez in it. That said, I watched the highlights of their game against Sporting. That front three seems to work quite nicely, actually. And I think Gibbs White actually offers quite a lot, interestingly enough. Makes good runs, picking up central positions as well, and is on set pieces, on corners, on one side as well, at least. Neto, busy, as you'd expect, obviously, driving into the box, etc. I think everyone knows that. I'm just probably just saying shit that people knew like 2-3 weeks ago that I'm catching up on. But, you know, I'm not doubting he's a very good player. And I'm just looking at the team themselves and saying, can they do that on a regular basis in the Premier League? Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking, you're right, Bailey's the fun. But if you're thinking 5.5, oh, mate, if you've got 0.5 to spare, I mean, I would go to Martinelli with a heart. It's not even a decision.
Yeah, if you haven't already got Martinelli. But
if you haven't already got him, you just go there, right? And then if there's doubt like that in my mind, I still can't put myself to go there. If I'm going to go for a punt at 5 million, 5.5, whatever, then because I might as well, then yeah, I prefer Bailey, personally.
That's the only thing about Neto is yeah, I think he's looked real
those,
sharp.
Those three will be the front three as well. I think that's the
there will be.
So Leeds, we know that.
You know, still conceded two tonight, and they Pascal Strike played left back. You know, that left wing has been bad. The left back, you know, has been bad for a long time. They've got no Dallas they can put out there. Firpo's just appalling. I don't see a good option that's out there. So I do think. And from all accounts, they're playing quite a high line.
Yeah.
And I think about some of the things that he's done it for Wolves, it's all been breaking the line on that right hand side. So I like Neto, I like Bailey. I don't think, you know, if it benefits you in a way that you think you can spend the extra $500,000, then
yeah,
I don't think you lose a lot by going Bailey to Neto and vice versa.
Cool.
But you will get more minutes out of Neto, I suspect.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
Let's do Tottenham, come on. Should we do the Conte quotes before doing our quotes of what we saw? So, because I saw everyone in the world sharing what Conte said.
The smallest snippet.
The smallest, because everyone's going to always share the bits they were. So the question he was asked was, you've been unhappy with pre-seasons in the past. What did you change about this one to ensure you're happy with it? First of all, the most important thing is that all the players, except Oliver Skip, have trained and trained well. In this moment, we have two players, Perisic and Doherty, that they have to continue to work and reach the peak of fitness because after a long injury, they are struggling a lot. Firstly, I'll probably just say the word is, I don't think he uses the word struggling like we would use them as struggling. That like struggling for us is like he's, you know, like hobbling up and down the stairs.
He's not quite sure whether he's going to make
it. He's like, you just can't absolutely nail it for that long. But you're like, he still played Doc for 67 minutes and he still played Perisic for 75 minutes, which is longer than we expected either of them to play.
True.
Today it was positive to give them a lot of time to play again for Matthew and Ivan. Same with Bissouma. You know, Bissouma's probably, if anything, a bit behind. Lenglet played very well in the second half. I feel like that makes Perisic even a better option because you've got a ball playing left back or left centre back. Davies is just about back, so I don't think Sanchez keeps that role. He went back to say, how important was it getting out Ivan Perisic in personally for you? He's an important player because he's really good. No one snippets that out, do they? No one just snippets out. He's an important player because he's really good.
they want the bit that's going to cause a bit of controversy.
He moves forward. He's good in 1v1s and he can use both feet. And he was a winger. And he was before a winger, which is why he's good in 1v1.
Yeah.
But he has to continue to work because at the moment, he's not the Ivan Perisic I know. That is normal, though. And I'm happy because he reduced the time to recover from his injury. So he's ahead of schedule. He's important. He's really good. He's got all the things that he wants from his player. But, you know, we need to give time for these players to be really fit. The bad line, I feel like, is at the end where he says it will be very important for us to basically get Doherty and Perisic on the field. But then we have Sessegnon. That is a guarantee. So he's like, I don't worry about Sessegnon. I rate him enough to play him. Yeah. All good. Emerson is good.
That's him just not shitting on his own players.
There is the new player, Spence. I love it. Like, he doesn't even know he is. There's a new player, Spence. He's a guy who has to work a lot, you know. So for me, I don't see a world in which Doherty probably doesn't play.
Agreed.
But Perisic and Doherty, just if you haven't,
I just wonder.
Just go watch the highlights, mate. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and just see the positions that they were taking up. Like, genuinely ridiculous. We were talking about Trent and Robbo, right? Just imagine those positions that Trent and Robbo were in, and then just add 10 yards closer to the goal. Like, just do that. That's where they were. And they were looking for each other as well. Like, they were just turning up inside the box.
They were absurd.
They just were ahead of Son and Kane regularly.
Just anybody that knows, Perisic is 30% owned. Just go watch those highlights and then imagine he's playing Southampton, who have played three at the back every single game this season in pre-season friendly.
Yeah.
Wing-backs are gold in that position. Absolute gold in that position because they can't defend it. They haven't got the players to defend it. They're going to be taken up, those back three, by the forward three of Spurs.
Yeah,
I feel they'll sit in. Yeah.
I think it's just it's fun.
It's going to take something ridiculous for me to not have Perisic in that team.
Yeah. It's okay. It's like Conte says he's recovering. He's still recovering to be the peak physical fitness. Do you think if he's not peak, that he won't start him? He'll start him. Like,
if he wasn't peak, he'd have taken him off at half time because that's what we expected him to do.
Well, yeah, there is that as well. Yeah, there is that.
The stuff he did, the others can't do.
I mean, yeah, his technical ability is beyond any left-sided player that I know in the league.
Yeah. And
it's as simple as that.
The only waiver for me is that we didn't score. We didn't score, and it was tough. The weather was not kind to play football in. It was hard work. It was a Mourinho team, blah, 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 blah. But the only thing I did think was the front three plus then the other two, you suddenly had five men in the box all the time, and there were times where you just needed a bit more width.
Yeah.
Needed a bit more width, needed a bit more discipline. And I did think to myself, maybe you play one of the two more often, you know, as you go with a Sessegnon and a Doherty, or you go with a Perisic and a Royal.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering that a little bit myself yesterday, thinking that, yeah, because that then means that the front four become Perisic, Son, Kane, Kulusevski, with Royal essentially just as a support function.
As would Bleng Lately.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, which might work in balance. It might work in balance. But then there is the option as well. I mean, it depends on how Conte wants to set up. If he wants to overload from minute one, he might just go Doherty and then just go for
he might
hell
do
for, hell for leather. And they might find they do something like that against Chelsea, for example. You know, try and smash it in the first 30 and then use Royale and Sessegnon later on as, you know, more.
Yeah. I think he knows how important it is. There's never a better time for Tottenham to try and take on Chelsea.
Yeah.
And there's never a better time for Arsenal to take on Tottenham and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Like, they're on it. Yeah. Tottenham know they've got to be on it.
Yeah.
Everyone knows they've
got to
be on it.
We have to play until October, do we?
Everyone knows they need to get ahead here.
Yeah.
And get the points in the bank, because it worked for Chelsea last season. You know, they got ahead and Arsenal and Spurs were, the better team post Christmas in terms of points accrued, but too far. So yeah, Perisic is in, mate. Unless there's something mad that comes out that he literally says he's not ready to start, which wouldn't fully be against it, because there's a lot of players that have got good opening two games. Like, I'm not against saying you bring Perisic in game week 3, because you could go, say, Trippier, or you could go Dina at 5.0. You can go Ake, as already mentioned, at 5.0. Save yourself that 0.5 and do something else with it.
Yeah.
And then go to him for the Wolves game in game week 3. The problem is, the sooner the closer you get to those European games, that's when the rotation becomes more of a worry.
That's true. Is game week 5 the first midweek Premier League game as well? So I think as soon as that starts...
5 or 6. Yeah, one of the 2.
Yeah, so as soon as that starts, then we're on 2 games a week.
Exactly. But those first 4, Forest, Wolves, Southampton...
Yeah.
Even Chelsea, like, because I know it's... But if there's a time, Chelsea has been all summer looking for a right centre-back and they've not got one.
Yeah. Yeah. Who have they got? Malangsar? Asby? Still there?
Chalobah and James really are the 2 that could play it.
Yeah.
So you could easily find that by game week 4 he's put 30 points in the bag.
Yep.
Yeah. Kane? Son?
I mean, I've got no issues with them not scoring against Roma. You know, Mourinho teams are notoriously defensive. Mourinho team against an old club is notoriously a battle, even if it's a friendly. I think that's what I expected. It to be very, very difficult for them. They've done enough throughout preseason to say to me that they're ready, they're fit. I'm obviously throwing in massive Tottenham bias onto top of that as well. But just caveat that is that I'm confident that we'll start the season well. And I believe that will obviously involve Kane and Son from goals, assists, returns, FPL, whatever you want to call it, to be honest.
Are you considering Son at all?
Son? No.
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 If there's one that's not quite there at the moment, I feel like it's Son. What about Kulusevski?
No. No. Again, no. It's funny because it's what you said yesterday. He's almost like the 5th best asset that we have. Like,
yeah.
And he's still...
4th if Emerson plays.
if Emerson plays. But yeah, no, he's... I'd have Kane, Son, Perisic before Kulusevski. Structure-wise, I'm not looking at an 8 million midfielder, so I'm not overly concerned with not having him. It doesn't mean I don't think he's going to score points. And I think he will score points, but it doesn't worry me because I feel like when he scores points, it's going to involve Kane or Perisic. Hopefully not so much Son, but just from an FPL perspective, from a Tottenham perspective, I don't care. But it doesn't worry me because I think I've got enough in midfield anyway.
You're still on Kane at the moment?
Yep.
I'm still on Kane at the moment.
Mate, our teams are basically the same. We'll look at them now.
Let's do that, boys. Let's do that.
So I will flash my draft up. Let's just get that right now. I'll flash my draft up and then I'll show Baker's as well. And I'll just flick between the two just for a second. So just quickly flicking between the two. Anyone watching can see that they are vastly different. And when I say different, like, they're not different at all.
Like, I love that somehow we've put them in the same position, but I have to...
You've not noticed, I'm using FPL team. So shout out to Peter, FPL team. I put them in here as well. So I only had to change the ones that were different, right? So it really does show, though, that...
Yeah, so for those on audio, we've got 7 the same at the moment. And that's Trent, Cancelo, Perisic, Salah, Martinelli, Kane, Jesus.
Yeah.
And I said earlier, and the bench is basically the same. kind of.
4.0 keeper, and then and then Andreas Williams da Silva. We've got them both. Yeah. We've got them all. Yeah.
And we're both playing 4-3-3 at the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't think the 4-3-3 matters. What I think matters is those seven, which are basically 75 million quid of our balance. Well, those seven plus the bench is about 75 million quid.
Yes.
We then have 25 million for our keeper and then three other positions.
Yeah.
And that could be two midfielders and a defender. It could be two defenders and a mid or a striker. It could be a number of different ways you can do it. But it's kind of, for me, is looking at what do I do with that 25 million. And for me at the moment, it's Ramsdale, Trippier, Neto, Darwin. So I've got the forward. And for you, it's Ederson, Robertson, Bailey, Martial.
Yeah. So I've got the balance.
I mean, there's no bad players there, is there?
No. So I've got a defender, basically.
There's genuinely, you know, no bad options out there. You can have plenty of fun, but I suppose notable players we haven't got. James?
Any Chelsea? Yeah. James Chilwell? No.
We've got no Haaland as it stands?
No. Although, yeah, I'm transfer booked. Fine.
And we've got no £8 million midfielder.
Correct. I'm just thinking about my transfer booked. And I didn't book a transfer 2 years ago when this happened. But do you remember when we lost? Did we lose or did we draw to Everton day one? We lost to Everton, didn't we?
That's exactly right. We lost 1-0 to Calvert-Lewin, Everton.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin, Everton. Sold Kane next week. And
got four assists.
Then got four assists against... Who was it against?
Southampton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He got four assists and then considered to get about 80 points in the next five, 6 games.
So Kane and Son finished with 180 points between them after 10 games or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our mate was like 500th in the world.
That's the one of the other stupid things about banking transfers, isn't it? Is it's almost sometimes better to not have them, like, just at all, rather than you have to go, oh, God, now I've got to do it. Because the thing with Perisic and the thing with Kane is you're never bringing them in for game week two.
No.
You're never going the other way.
No.
And so I feel like Perisic, I'm like, I think I'd rather just have it, whether I'm worried about it or not, because I feel like I'm going to want him at some point. But I feel that same way about Haaland, where I just look at him and like, I'm going to want him at some point.
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, I can't see myself going into game week two without a city asset. I mean, Salah's a perfectly good captainable asset against Palace.
Without the £8 million fielder, it's like, what do you do? And I just don't know that Cancelo was right back. Yeah, but I don't think you're going to get lucky as you did last time when he went right back.
Of course not. Well, if they sign Cucurella, maybe, but. No.
And that's the problem. Like with Laporte out, I think he stays left. And I don't see the 18-point hauls in him at left back that I see at right back. I still think he's just non-negotiable for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough one. I just think we're not locked. You know, I think a lot of us are saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? These four to the right, I think, are the ones where we're still just going to go tinker town. I feel like we're relatively locked in because I don't mind the Kane one, whether you go Kane or Haaland, they're the same price. You haven't got a lot to think about. It's just press the button one way or another. But the other ones, when you start pressing the buttons, you've got to start pressing more buttons.
Yeah.
Like my one on Robertson, it's not just as easy as I'll go down a little bit because I think if I didn't go Darwin now, I'm not sure it's Martial. That's Sancho out and Ronaldo stuff. Although even then, he played half a game, then pissed off.
Exactly. He was out the ground before the end of the game. But that doesn't. But I can't see how he starts him. And you know, United didn't, did they score yesterday? I can't remember they scored.
They didn't, but they did have Atletico. Like, no one scores against
Atletico.
Exactly,
and they had chances, though. I mean, they had chances. Martial could have had a couple in the
first half.
And
they all went to Martial.
Yeah. So he's still, so we're sitting here like, oh, we I mean, of course we're sitting here saying, no, we have to get Haaland because he's getting the chances. Oh, Darwin, he's sucking the chances in. Martial, fuck him off. But he's getting the chances. So.
There's a lot of red in your team, mate. Are you wearing a red top?
No, I'm not. It's purple, mate. It's purple. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. I can't believe you've gone there.
Blue
I need,
white,
a, I need better lighting. I need better lighting because this is purple as hell. Where's the... You bastard.
I love how defensive you got over
Unbelievable.
This.
Unbelievable. Look at that. That is purple. So purple.
Okay. I'll give you it. I'll give
Thank
you
Thank you. Not having that.
West Ham colours. Yeah. Perfect.
Thank
Clara.
You prick.
mine's no better. We're just full of red. Look at our teams.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful. I've got the fixtures now, actually. I've managed to find the fixtures. So, Lego Mane. Cheers. So, for those... So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because
so
who else are you going to transfer in game week 2? Honestly, unless there's an injury.
Exactly.
Like, the only transfer you're going to make really is that Haaland Kane one.
Exactly. And if there is an injury, then I'll deal with the injury. That's fine. I can do that.
It happens. I just get the feeling that if you go Martial and Kane... I can see it now that you're going to go to fucking Alvarez, Martial to Alvarez in game week 2 and captain him. I can just see it happening.
That could be fun, you know.
See?
How many minutes would he have to get for me to make that? For me to consider
it.
Just
don't do it. There's not really, like, it's the game week 2 fixtures. You're like,
oh. I'll do a game week 2 next week.
The players that I can see, the players that I can see people chasing, I can see people chasing Bailey in game week 2 if they've already got there, because you can just see it, can't you? They go going home to Everton after playing Bournemouth.
Yeah.
He could be your early bandwagons. Neto could be, because then home to Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those with Neto and Bailey, I don't hate it. I've seen a few we've got, they've got both and they're benching one, like they've got Bailey on the bench. Oh, that's a tough gig.
I mean, you're asking for bench points anyway with Andreas Williams and whoever else you've got, whether that be Greenwood, well, probably not Greenwood, but like De Silva may start, it looks like.
Yeah.
But you're looking at bench points. Bench points are going to happen this season. People are going to be sitting on lots of points on the bench. I mean, I would say just don't worry about that. That's what the bench is for, just in case. So
Pereira could be even better, because Harry Wilson's got a problem tonight. Might need an operation or something, but it looks like it's doesn't look good by the sounds of things. So suddenly he's on all set pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that could be... Yeah, yes, exactly. I mean, that could be bad for Fulham generally, but...
Oh, that is bad. Yeah, nice. 18 assists, whatever he got. Yeah. So, you know, that's bad, bad. Darwin.
we should wrap it up soon. I'm just thinking, Aaron.
Yeah.
But
there's so much fun to deliberate. I'm not settled on the third Liverpool. I'm not settled. First time I'll say, I openly say, I'm not settled on Kane v Haaland. I'm pretty sold on the rest, I think.
You're going to have Praz in your ear all week, aren't you? Like, it's got to be Haaland.
It's got to be Haaland, maybe. I mean, yeah. Ownership, so just to finish it up, has Jesus made 70%?
Don't know. Hold on.
It's not far off, mate, now. 69.4.
What? I see 65.3. Where are you seeing that?
Update it, mate. Refresh it.
Jesus Christ.
Clearly not closing the app enough.
69.4.
Don't underestimate the casual, mate. I went to a wedding on Friday and someone early said, early on, who's in your fantasy team? And my lovely wife said, oh, Baker's got a podcast. Obviously, she doesn't actually call me Baker. Yeah. that was it. Sending those questions, but they didn't have a lot wrong, mate. There's not a lot of people with a lot wrong.
No, they won't make that and they'll all be on Jesus, Salah, Haaland.
James at 40%.
James.
Mendy at 22%.
Yeah.
Chelsea are already 62% owned in defence.
Perfect. Perfect. Look forward to that Calvert-Lewin goal. Desperate for it.
He did score.
Lovely.
He did score. It's going to be a long week, this, mate.
It is. It is definitely going to be a long week. But
I'm going away. Watch the Centre Parks in the morning.
Oh, yeah, nice. What are you going to be putting next Sunday?
Imagine how much tinkering.
Are you back?
I'm back on Friday. But the wife thinks we're going away for a nice quiet week. Like, I'm just like, the internet better be good. The internet, the Wi-Fi better be good. tinker.
Oh, definitely, mate. Definitely. So, okay, cool. Well, I've just chucked the game week one fixtures up there. I mean, I don't feel like there's going to be many surprises next week. I think Wolves Leeds could go either way. Other than that, I think everything will go as it would be expected to.
There could be so many fun fallouts on it. I mean, that Leicester game, that could be any score. The Newcastle like game could goals. Be any score. Leeds Wolves can be any score.
It's back.
I still look at those fixtures. I'm still not sure. Friday night, Palace Arsenal.
They hate a Friday night, do Arsenal. They absolutely hate a Friday night.
I can't wait, mate.
Cool. Right. I think we are almost there. So, yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on stream. We've got some of the questions up. If they were super chats, they went straight up. So, note for next week. We got to
take the money.
We got to 2,000. No, we appreciate the support, honestly, guys. Thank you so much. We got to 2,000 subs on the stream. We nipped down below just for a minute, but then you bastards resubscribed. Good work. So 2,008 subs. Thank you so much. That's quality. Have fun tinkering this week and press conferences. That's what's next.
Good luck.
And
we would both take our game week one of last year.
Oh, like
26K, mate. 26K in the world last year, game week one.
Yep. And our content will now be Sunday nights, generally speaking.
Back
to normal. Sunday nights, you can lock us in 8:30 on a Sunday night, taking on Andy as he does his knee-jerk stream every week. But thanks for joining us, and we'll see you later.
See you soon.
Speak to you later, mate.
I'm above average.
Social Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.